Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Now then, Neil, how are we doing? Long time no speak. How's tricks, my friend?
Yeah, not bad at all. It's been a little, as you could imagine, having been in the job for 40 odd years. It is strange, but it's given me a chance to do other things which I've really enjoyed doing, and had a laugh here and there, and obviously, I never thought I'd ever go on Twitter, Dave. But I've done one or two silly things on Twitter, and I have enjoyed it, if I'm honest.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's on my list of things to catch up with you about, and we'll get to that in due course. But as you say, given that length of time in management, off the back of a long playing career, I mean, what's Neil Warnock's day-to-day like?
Well, everything's different, really. We've got a couple of dogs. If it's going to be hot, we get out early in the morning and have a walk. We both enjoy cycling. We've got electric bikes, so we'd cycle all over the show. We do about 30-35 miles a day. Wow. You know, when we do it. So, and in Cornwall, the roads are narrow and there's some dead ends, and we've been able to, you know, go down places we wouldn't normally go. So that's been good. It's all consuming day when you're a manager. It's like me looking after 25 kids every day. You know, there's always one coming in and they've got chicken pox, or they're not going to school, and there's always something wrong with somebody, and you're trying to sort their problems out as well as sorting your own out regarding, you know, who you're playing next, etc.
You, Neil, are out on tour like a rock star on a tour called Are You With Me? visiting your previous clubs and cities that you've had a real effect. And I, from what I've seen and what we've discussed so far, and we'll give people a little bit more detail of where you're going to be and where you've already been. How have you found that? Just tell us from an emotional point of view, how has it been to see those fans up close and personal?
Well, it's something that I've never come across, really, because when you're managing a club, you have the good results and the end of the game, and I punch my fist up in the air, and I always used to like clapping all the way around the ground because the fans from every angle, and never really realised sort of the love that they got for me. When I went back, I've been back to all the venues and all the clubs, and they must welcome me back, because I think I've been to six clubs and they haven't lost. I'm undefeated in watching the games. I did, on a couple of those, I went out at half time to do a draw, you know, a 50-50 draw, I think, or some, you know, there was something like that. And to get the reception that I got, it's quite emotional, really. I was quite filled up, if I'm honest. I never expected the chanting that I got, and you know, at Plymouth, I had to walk round the stadium to go to the far side. And I mean, the cop lads at Plymouth, it was amazing. And, you know, I never realised sort of how many people remembered my time in charge and the good times that we had. And I think that's what really sort of lit up and made it emotional, and the fact that they were all remembering those times. And that pleased me because there were great times, and I've had some lovely times. I've enjoyed these different moments and seeing players. You know, at every club we've had some players back, and they're the same group. If I tell you, Dave, you've been in them squads. Mm-hmm. When you've got a promotion, and you see those lads again, or they have reunions, they never seem to change. Yes, they've aged, but the banter's the same. The ones that Mickey takers are the same. The stories is remember things which I've forgot, and it's just great. You know, I see Premier League players now kissing the badge, and you know, and I think to myself, will they have reunions in 10 years or 15 years? You know, I just can't see it.
I mean, it is a different world, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the type of places, Cardiff, Sheffield, Plymouth, Scarborough, Borough, places like that, I mean, you're anchored to what they felt at one time about their football club. And I think the thing that comes out of what you've just said, having seen your teams firsthand playing against them and then covering them as well, a large portion of it was you wouldn't have a goalkeeper on the bench. You'd have an outfield player would be someone who went in goal. You'd pack it with wingers and centre forwards. That's not a manager that's not wanting to lose games. That's a manager who's saying, do you know what, lads, today we're going to give it a right go and we're going to go for the win.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, there were only three subs, I think, in those days. So
yeah.
I used to think, why waste a sub on a goalie that might happen once a year? And because Jagielka, he would be the world's best tiddlywink player, Jags. whatever he set his mind to do, he was such a sportsman. And he used to put the gloves on, and we used to, you know, and I used to joke with Paddy Kenny, listen, Paddy, don't worry if you feel struggling. I said, we'll just shove Jags in goals, you know, because he's a bit better keeper than you. It's a good job he's playing out. So so when the time came, we just shoved Jags in goals, and he never let me down. I think he used to love putting the gloves on, if I'm honest.
He seemed to love it, and I think the reaction from the crowd at Bramall Lane was that one of, here we go, Jags has got his gloves on, let's see what happens now between now and the final whistle. It was all part of what, like you say, because of how we break down, we're going to come on to the Premier League in just a second, but we can never lose the fact of what football is, can we, Neil? The fact that it is entertainment, first and foremost. We love going to watch football matches. We love the possibility of walking up at 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon and coming home at 5:00 and you're ready to kick the cat or ready to hit the town.
Yeah, and that's what... I mean, especially in England, Great Britain. Mm. I mean, you look at the fans that we get. I mean, I went to Notts County and there was 7,000 fans or something like that. Mm. I mean, where do you get the fans turning out in the numbers anywhere else in the world? You don't, not for like four divisions. No. So I just think it's a fantastic ingredients that we've put into the Football League. I think it's just something special. I think it's great where everybody has their own club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you're born into that club or like Man United fans, where they just want to, you know, you just fancy being a Man United fan. I mean,
but when they're doing well.
The only place that you don't get Man United fans are in Manchester, I think, really. Everywhere else I go, they seem to be like that.
I think you're absolutely right, but I'm sure, even though it has been a few months now since you last said that you're not going to be a manager anymore, that may change, as we well know. The fact that I presume you're keeping abreast of the Premier League, the big shiny kind of motor car of a division that we all know and love. What have you made of it so far? Early knockings, of course.
I think, I tipped Man City to win it, and I can't see anything other than that. I didn't envisage Liverpool losing as many points early doors and having the results that they've had. It'll be very interesting now, from my point of view, to see how Jürgen changes the mindset again. You know, everybody has an opinion on where they've gone wrong or what's gone wrong. Jürgen he'll have his own ideas about, you know, what's the situation, having watched it and talked to his players. And, you know, that I don't think there's nobody better than him to sort it out because they've got a really good squad. I mean, elsewhere, I think, you know, the other team, I mean, Brighton surprised everybody early doors, and now you see the manager moving on to the likes of to Chelsea, which will be very interesting. I could have gone to Chelsea when I was at Notts County, David, and I didn't go down there. It wasn't because of the players. It was I didn't really think I could work with the owner at that time, Ken Bates, as much as what probably what Potter thinks he can do.
But it's a big step. Is that a big thing, Neil, in the decision? You look at the playing squad and you think, great, but ultimately there's only one man who decides, or one owner that decides your fate and whether you're doing a good job or not, isn't there?
There is, but I mean, I know exactly how he's feeling now, Potter, because Graham will have thought he'd be terrified underneath at times because he's going to come up against egos that he's never met in his life or seen in his life. And when you've been at a club like Brighton, and I'm not being disrespectful, a family club, good fans, not really a lot of pressure. Yes, certain pressures, but not really a lot of pressures. He'll also remember the time 12 months ago where he got booed, which I thought was a disgrace at the time. And so the opportunity to come, I turned mine down, and you could say, did you regret it? Not really at the time. The only time I regretted turning a club down was Sunderland, believe it or not. I do regret not going there at the time with Bob Murray. But going back to Graham Potter, he will be worried. He'll be frightened death, but he knows his coaching. He'll take him through it. And he'll have the staff there to give it around. But deep down underneath, he'll be absolutely terrified of some of them lads. And he's going to get through that. Because as a manager, you know, you are going to progress. I think the 200 grand a week, David, might help him relax. if I'm honest. I think that might be a softener for us. He might get some criticism for five years.
There is a time elapsing, obviously, between you being offered the Chelsea job and Graham Potter moving from Brighton to Chelsea. But he talks in the opening kind of chats being Chelsea manager about building relationships, building respect and trust. You mentioned just then, tongue-in-cheek, possibly the wages are just slightly different nowadays. Yeah. But the fundamentals of being a manager, they wouldn't have changed in that course of time with what you would have done, would they?
Not at all, no. And he'll be himself. I think he'll give a little bit more personal touch to the squad, especially the younger lads like Mount, people like that. I think he'll have more one-on-ones, you know, probably an arm round one or two to get it. But at the end of the day, he hopes that he gets results early doors, which helps. If you get a few results, it helps him with the lads as well. But, you know, I think looking from the outside, it wasn't a bed of roses at Chelsea beforehand. And I think Graham, you know, when you look at his position at Brighton, it probably was as good a time as any that he's going to leave because he'd done a great, you know, good job for 3 years, got a good on his CV, and a club like this with the sort of money that we're talking about. You know, you can't really say no to that. But he won't change as a manager. What's got him the best at... He'll try and get these egos, these big egos, he'll try and get them working as a team, which is easier said than done. But, you know, if they sort of lock into what Graham wants, there's no reason why, you know, they don't become a force again. Because it's a great, you know, got a good club. Now they've got the man... with the money that's come in. He's talking about a five-year project. Yeah, listen, you can talk about what you want, but there's no such thing as a five-year project in management. Yeah. But, you know, if Graham does his job, he will want at some stage, when he set off, like I did in my Sunday League days, I wanted to manage a team in the top flight and at Wembley and, you know, then my old club, Sheffield United. He'll have his ambitions and, I think one of his main ambitions is to manage at the top level, but then to go into the Champions League and try and have a team that could win the Champions League, as well as the English Premier League and things. And Chelsea are that kind of club. You know, they proved last year they won the Champions League. So he'll want to establish the way that he is, because it's easy on the eye what Graham wants. But I can't stress enough, it's far easier doing that at Brighton than doing it at Chelsea. So he'll have problems that he's never come across before in his managerial career now. And he'll deal with that because with management, you have to learn by your mistakes, or you have to learn by experience. And it's only by being experienced and seeing what you've done wrong that you can become a better person and a better manager. So he'll be learning all the time now, every day, but he'll be excited because, you know, he'll know he's got a club now that week in, week out can beat anybody in the league. Whereas, you know, when you're at a Brighton, you're at a club that, you know, quite happy to stay in the Premier League. And if you're in the top half, it's a bonus. Whereas now, he's got a team that can compete, or hopefully when he builds it, a compete at the top level for the top prize.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And you mentioned the word egos. I mean, depends how, what your definition or what you understand to be an ego. I'm sure you've come across some of the best players that their ego is absolutely paramount to the way that they perform for you on a Saturday or a Tuesday night. So how do you manage that? Do you have to take the individual, or do you take it as a group, or do you, are there some that can be afforded a luxury? Are there some that can need the carrot, some need the stick? How on earth do you marshal these egos together?
I think it's by getting to know everybody individually, knowing about the family, the children, the wives, you know, partners, whoever. And it's about knowing everything you can about players. You've also got to have good staff. You've got to have the physios listening for when the lads come in for a rub or a chat in the morning. Is there anything wrong with the family? You know, the kids are off school, or, you know, the missus is not well. You know, all the little things that come into it that you need everybody to be on top. And you might think it's a little thing as a manager, but you've got to stress to the staff, I need to know all the little things, because all the little things added up, you know, become a big thing. And I think you've got to have that togetherness, because you have to build a team that want to go in them trenches for you if you're going to be successful. I'm not bothered whether that's Manchester City or bottom of the league. You've got to go in the trenches. They've got to give that little bit more. And by knowing about everybody, it will help you. And when I say egos, you know, when you're on, you know, when you're on sort of £250,000 a year to play, and somebody comes in and tells you you're not doing this, you're not doing that, if you've not got the right attitude, or you've not got the respect for the manager, you know, what you say under your breath might be different to what you would do. And he's got to get these type of players that are on this type of money wanting to do it for him, really. Not so much the club. I always believe, David, that you play for the manager rather than the club. Whenever I've been successful, I think the team's played for me, really. Yes, the clubs are all important. But if you look back at your career, I bet some of your best times with a manager that you'd lay your life, you know, die for. And I think that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, and it's an intriguing way to look at it, because, and it goes back to what you were saying about visiting these old clubs and seeing that affection. The affection comes from success, obviously helps, but B, the thing that will always be a currency in football is actually caring about where you are and what you're doing. That's what you want to harness together. That's why there's been this outpouring of affection for you, because, like you've mentioned about that time between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, when it sometimes feels like someone else takes you over, but it's because you care. You are beholden to that club to care about that club, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not proud sometimes when I look back at some of the things I've done. But listen, I can't change, David. I'm not. Can't change as you get on. I have thought about it. I once wore a suit when I got promotion at Sheffield United. I think I did it for 5 weeks. I've never felt more uncomfortable, something like that. But I thought, oh, I should look the part, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it's something that as a manager, you've just got to strive to get the best out of your group.
Mm.
And I've always believed, yes, I've dealt with egos, but not to the level that we're talking about now with the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look round. You know, for example, last year when Ollie was at Man United and I'm watching Pogba.
Mm.
You know, how would I deal with, you know, and I couldn't deal with that. I you know, I'd try and get him out the door as quick as I could. Are you with me?
Yeah.
In that respect, because I wouldn't want people like that, you know. And you know, I've heard stories about when you'd leave players out of the team at the top level and their agent rings you up about, you know, what you,
I can just
what you left
imagine.
Them out. You know,
I can just imagine.
How can you imagine me talking to an agent why I've dropped a player? I mean, come on.
There's a show in itself, Neil, there. Neil Warnock speaks to football agents.
I know. I mean, you know, I know they've got to help with the contracts that you need. You've got to have agents and good people around. And there are good agents, make no mistake. And obviously the ones that people get, you know, they call them the bad ones. But I think you've got to be looked after as a player because there's so much to do now. It's the ones that are too busy for, you know, at times that I think are wrong. You know, I've had a couple of players where agents have talked them into signing for clubs.
Right.
Which for me was the wrong decision.
That's the wrong reason completely,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
They've all, you know, either got more money from their agent's fee and whatever you, but that, you should look after the players more than themselves, really. Mm. I think the good agents are the ones that look after the players every week, not just when the contracts are up. And there are a lot of good ones. You know, a lot of good ones. Over the last few years, I think there's been a lot more of the good ones around looking after it. But, I mean, you know, when you hear about the stories about your top clubs in the Premier League, that's slightly different than that.
Mm.
I mean, the sort of figures that we talk about, you know, it's ludicrous, I think.
And the amazing thing with this, if you're listening, is the fact that I get to look at you when you're talking about this. You look to me like there's a fire there that's still going. What is the script, Neil? Is that it done and dusted? Do you never know what's around the corner?
Well, you don't. You never know what's around the corner. But I've really, really enjoyed doing these evening withs. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm seeing some of my old players.
Mm.
I'm talking about stories about managers at the top level that I've come across, which I've not been able to talk about before without getting charged by the FA and getting fined. So,
what's that running total? Just so we know, it's astronomical.
About a quarter of a million, something like that. I think they actually did a suite down at the FA, the Neil Warnock suite. I think I paid for that. So, it's nice to be able to talk a few stories and tell a few funny bits, really, because even from when I was starting off, you know, people like Cluffy, when I was in Forest and I was a county, and then Wenger and Ferguson and Benitez and all them, it's so good to talk about that. Big Ronnett, when he was at Villa, they got good stories, and I'm looking forward to talking about them, if I'm honest, because it's given me things to look back in my career and come up with some of the funny things, and some of the funny things I'd forgot completely about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, right, well, let's get these. The promoter's saying, let's do these seven. I said, I'll do these seven because they're all favourable ones. But I said, ideally, if I like it, I'd like to do places that I didn't get a reception like welcome. You know, I've always wanted to go to Bristol and Ipswich and Portsmouth and places. And I'm, you know, I think, well, if I enjoy it, I might go down there, these places. Because fans are fans, you know. And even the places that, you know, when I come out, we used to have a bet on with the staff how many seconds before they chanted, Warnock, you're a, you know. Can I say banker? I think you know what I mean, don't you? But I wasn't a banker.
No.
But we used to, you know, and I used to say, I bet it's 30 seconds. Well, we're using 10 seconds. But I still had a rapport with the fans. I still enjoyed it with the fans that wanted to give me stick. I used to pick a young lad out with his dad always, especially at Hillsborough Day.
Yeah.
I used to go to a young lad as a, you know, walking the 50 yards to the dressing room with Hillsborough. Wow. And I used to pick a young lad, with his dad. I used to say, "Listen, son, I don't want you to be too disappointed tonight when you go home having got beat. All right, I want you to look after your dad. He's not a bad lad, all right." And because I'd have everybody booing me, but I love that kind of thing. Mm. And you know, I'm glad that I was able to do that.
The thing that comes out of that as well, Neil, is that sense of taking the work seriously, but at times, as we've all got to do in life, not take ourselves too seriously, because that's then when you can get people on board with what you're doing. Is that reflected in what you've seen dipping not just your toe, but nearly 2 feet now into social media and Twitter? And how have you found that? Because obviously that's a reflection of a certain demographic who like to pass judgment. But I mean, you've taken to it like a duck to water.
Well, I have, but I've got to say, I didn't have a clue. I mean, I used to think when the lads used to come in and they were all on these, I thought, why would I want to tell somebody what I had for breakfast in the morning and take the kids to school? But I've done it. I mean, I've done it because obviously with the shows and the promotion work, but I've actually enjoyed doing it. You know, Amy and William, my youngest kids, and James and Natalie, I think they all look at it and they have a laugh, really, and they tell me funny things. I know, I mean, I did a couple, a few weeks ago, one on me cycling, and when it was red hot, talking about dehydration.
I saw it, it was good, yep.
And then the Keep Me Up, you know, when Rick Carlson did that.
Yes.
I did a Keep Me Up one for fun about, you know, what's wrong with that? I mean, I would have kicked the hell out of him if he'd have done that in front of me. So yeah. I would have got booked. Yeah. But I did that. And you're talking, like somebody was saying, over 2 million people.
Wow.
I mean, it just, I always think, well, how sad can you get at social media?
You're not meant to say that. These are followers. I know. These are fans.
I know that. But I think the people that look at me or look at the social media part, they're quite intrigued anyhow. So I think it does them a world of good to have somebody my age as well that's been around a bit. Like I say, I always try and be funny if I can. Mm. And How's a Parliament, Dave? You know, when I picked my cabinet a few...
Yes.
I did love doing that. Yeah. I really did enjoy that.
And I think the thing that is reflected, as I've said, having spent time with you in studios and spoken to former players and current players of yours, that again, is a real theme that runs through it. That dedication to what you do, commitment, responsibility in caring about it, but also that undercurrent of humour, of the fact that inherently, it is a game that's played by a load of men or women running around and trying to do their utmost, the best. But within that, there is so much room for humour. You spend so much time in each other's pockets, whether it's hotels, whether it's training grounds, whether it's, as you say, running, getting run to pieces in pre-season or winning things or losing things. You do it all together. And that humour, as ever, runs through it in everything that you've done, I think.
I think what brought it home to me, one of the lads up at Middlesbrough telephoned me, obviously, when I left, and he said to me that he'd got to tell me in all his career he never enjoyed getting out of bed to come training as much as he did. And I know that sounds silly, but that meant a lot to me, David, that, because it meant that he enjoyed the way that I was, and that includes the humour part. And, I think that's what I tried to do. I tried to make sure that my players enjoyed coming into training. And I think that's why I've had so many promotions.
Well, I mean, I would wholeheartedly agree with that, Neil. And coming off what you've said, the chat that we've had, the social media side, I mean, I've really enjoyed this. Is it something that you've enjoyed being able to chat?
It is. I mean, when I've watched it, when I've looked around, I mean, I've done quite a few podcasts, David, since I've retired. But when I started talking to you, I thought, we ought to do this more often, you know, really, because there's so many things weekly. Things change weekly.
Absolutely.
Know, and, if 2 million people want to see me keeping the ball up, I can do a lot more. I can give them a lot more, you know. There's a lot more to come from this.
There's a lot more we can cram into half an hour's worth of chat, isn't there? I mean, and I think you've... As ever, being the boss, I think you've masterminded that. I think a podcast sounds like a good idea. I mean, the other thing that you need for a podcast, of course, is a good title. Is any titles that jump to mind for you?
What people have said when I've gone past them is, you've got to die for 3 points. So I think we better, if we were doing it, I think we better call it that, don't you?
That to me sums everything up with regards to what we've spoken about, what your career was about as a player and a manager, and just how much you cared about it. Neil, that for me is a deal. Die for 3 points, done and dusted. Let's get cracking. What do you think?
I think it'd be a good idea, Dave. Yeah, I've enjoyed doing it, and I'm sure people will enjoy listening. And it's another one that, retirement, I can enjoy it.
Fantastic. Bring it on. I'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Speak to you then.
Take it easy.
Lino, how do you work that one out? You know, my missus could have played against him.
I've got to be careful, haven't I?
I'm sorry and all this. That's a lot of. You've got to die to get 3 points.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.